It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. If you're listening on drop dates, April 26th, and this is episode 67, the Brandon Workman episode. He might have worn another number with the Sox too, but he was on there for a few years.
44 and 67.
44. Yep. That does ring a bell. But this is also officially a Will Brennan hate podcast. That has been decided. I don't need to consult. I didn't consult anyone before making the decision. I don't give it more than the first 5 minutes, but this guy absolutely sucks. And whenever he faces the Red Sox, he's like the most dangerous hitter in baseball. So yeah, Will Brennan hate podcast. Just hate this guy out of here. It's also the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or the Odyssey app. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube as well with WEI's page. We've got our own playlist in there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button there. Rate us 5 stars on the podcast platforms. Let us know what you're thinking of this team. A lot of ups and downs. Injuries galore. They are still above 500. They had a 4-2 road trip. But yeah, before we really get going into that, follow us on the socials as well. At Play Tessie, both Twitter and Instagram. We've got a ton of good stuff coming out there. We've got videos galore being made. Coop is doing an awesome job producing these videos that Sammy and I filmed when we were up in Portland. We've got a lot of stuff coming. So definitely a good idea to keep an eye on our socials. At Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy and Pat. Gentlemen, Sox dropped 2 out of 3 to the Guardians, but did finish the road trip 4-2. Instant reactions before we really get into the nitty gritty here. We'll go into all of the bad that happened, not on the field, but any quick vibe checks with you guys?
Yeah, you got to take a quarterback with the third pick.
I think I agree.
No, they're fine. That was a solid road trip, 4-2. Would have liked them to pull this last one out. Little disappointed, but it was nice to see them fight back in the end after going down 5-0 early. And, yeah, you might hate Brennan, and I'm not hating, but you got to get rid of David Hamilton. This guy, every time he gets a shot, nothing happens. And this is, you know, same with Bobby Dalbec, but I don't know how many more times I can talk about that guy being on the team. So I'm just pivoting to someone else that I don't think should be on the team. So, yeah, I tend to get mad more at the Red Sox rather than the team that they're playing, which I think is – I don't know. Would you say that's more or less common when the team loses?
I think it's more common to get mad at the Red Sox when they lose than to get mad at the opponent.
I would agree.
Yeah. Unless they, like, if they play someone and they're doing something dirty, that's different. But yeah, Will Brennan.
Manny Machado on Pedroia, a whole different story.
Knock his ass out. No, he'd probably kill me. But I don't hate Will Brennan. You got to be able to get that guy out. That's embarrassing. So credit to him, and do better next time. Well, you're not going to see him again this year, so never mind.
You'll see him in the ALCS, man. Sox Guardians.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll be playing shortstop for the team at that point.
Wait, let me go back to that. Cause I was thinking, I was having a text conversation with another friend of mine about the David Hamilton thing. Cause he made a couple of bad plays in the field today. He didn't even start the game at shortstop. He came in, but this is, let's just have the Rafaela shortstop Hamilton discussion right off the bat, because Rafaela is going to start at shortstop. But I heard some conversation about, like, when Grissom comes back, who goes down, and it's probably a Valdez or Hamilton conversation. And in my opinion, Valdez has been just as bad, but I think Valdez has to go down, because who else plays shortstop besides Hamilton? Do you guys think that Vaughn Grissom can play short?
Pablo.
They haven't played Pablo. Played Pablo at short in like the last 3 weeks.
Could he possibly be worse than Hamilton, though? Maybe. Seen him play short. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but it wasn't like Hamilton, where I almost feel bad. I think who was it? So one of the Red Sox commentators or podcasters, someone mentioned that when David Hamilton throws the ball from short to first, he has to like fucking row hop. Dude, look at that, by the way. Waited to drop an F bomb.
He right heaves.
Yeah, he heaves it. And then you see a guy like Rafaela who just schling, easy, simple motion. It's kind of like Story post elbow surgery. Shoop, easy, no effort. So when I see Hamilton, he just doesn't look like a shortstop. Now,
he's not a shortstop.
No, he's not. And that's not to say that Pablo Reyes is some defensive wizard like Omar Vizquel over there, but it cannot be worse. It can't possibly be worse over there. So that's how I feel. I would send down Hamilton over Valdez and have Pablo be your new backup shortstop. And like you said, Grissom, if you absolutely emergency need him to, you got Grissom. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think the other aspect of that is, I think historically Valdez has shown more at the plate. There's higher upside there than Hamilton. Hamilton gives you, I'm not hating, gives you nothing. He provides nothing except speed.
But there you go.
It doesn't matter.
Valdez actually provides nothing.
He gets on base. No, he doesn't. Valdez has had some big hits, and he's
Dude, he's not great. He's barely hitting like above what Bobby's hitting.
So here's the other thing.
He's 100 points higher.
Here's the other thing.
He has not hit.
Emmanuel Valdez at least has shown historically that he has some pop. You've never seen that from David Hamilton. The only real thing, honestly, that David Hamilton does provide is speed. It doesn't fucking matter if he's not getting on base.
And when he does get on base, he doesn't go. Have you noticed that?
So, no, but the thing in my eyes, it's Hamilton going down 100%. It has to be. You absolutely trot out Pablo Reyes, or like Sammy said, an absolute worst Vaughn Grissom. I mean, David Hamilton gives you nothing.
Horrendous defense,
a negative at the plate, speed that he does not use. Valdez at least gives you – wait, actually – Valdez has been decent at second base this year. Let's not take that away.
But Hamilton would be good at second base because he can play second base. The thing with Valdez is I actually think it would benefit him to get everyday AAA at-bats to figure things out. He is a better baseball player than David Hamilton.
I think it would benefit my own well-being if David Hamilton was not on the major league roster.
Me too!
The real takeaway is what we've been saying all offseason long. You kind of should have had a veteran guy down there so that when you have this situation – and you say, okay, which one of these young guys is better? Hey, but also maybe they should be getting everyday at-bats. You can throw that all out the window and go, hey, we got a guy like Nick Ahmed. He's 35 years old. He doesn't need everyday at-bats, but you know for a fact he's going to give you elite defense. Elvis Andrews, same thing. Not elite defense, but he's a veteran. You know what you're going to get. It's just every time we have a situation like this, it comes back to what we spoke about in the offseason. You didn't address the depth. You were way too confident with internal options. And yeah, man, it's every day it comes back to bite them, and somehow this team is 14-12. Thank you, Alex Cora and Andrew Bailey.
Yeah. No, you can't. People will complain and complain and complain about the roster because it's not pretty to watch, especially like at the plate. And they've been better in the field, but for the most part this year, they haven't been fun to watch in the field. But one thing that has been fun to watch in the field is Sadon Rafael at shortstop. And I'm just going to give Pat the floor to say something, because I know I'm going to have a good rebuttal to it, but I want to give Pat the first word.
I encourage everybody to go listen to the episode. I believe it was last week's series preview where Gordo tried to look me dead in my fucking eyeballs and tell me that Zaidan Rafaela might not be better than David Hamilton at shortstop. That is what Gordo, Nat Gordon, told me.
Gordon!
How listen, do you feel Pat. Now, Gordo? He's out there barehanding balls up the middle, throwing BBs.
Hold on, credit. One before you completely knock Gordo, one of his reasons I think he deserves credit for, part of the whole, like, Rafael, I forget the shifting of positions. You said you wanted to get Abreu every day in the lineup, and I know that, like, twisted into your Rafael at short. I'm trying, Gordo. I'm trying to find a way to.
No, I will be able to. I will be. I know exactly where you're getting at, and I'll tell you. The reason.
Go ahead. You're on your own.
So there were a couple reasons why I wasn't 100% sold at bringing him to short full time. The first being we haven't seen him play short on a full time basis in since like the low minors. But the second reason being the offense that you're losing, like you're not sorry, the offensive shift at the time because Abreu was not hitting. Ref Snyder was not on the team yet. He was still hurt. So you move Zaidan to short, you're putting Willier in the outfield, which is not, at the time, it felt like it wasn't going to give you any offense because at shortstop, you weren't getting any offense, but then bringing Abreu, you're not going to get any offense. But if you're moving Rafael, you're sacrificing elite outfield defense for an unknown at shortstop. But since this move has occurred, Willier Abreu is now the best motherfucking player on the team, and Zaidan has shown that he is the best defensive shortstop on the team. So from this point forward, it makes perfect sense to have him there. That's why I said the door is open to try it. I just wasn't sold full time. Now I'm sold full time.
Oh no, the receipt.
So I just hit found it. Do we want to play it? Do we want to from the hit top? It. From the top.
Shortstop defense has to take precedent over center field. We saw Duran last year. It's not great, but he's capable in center field. Shortstop is an unmitigated disaster right now. Center field with Duran wouldn't be a disaster. It'd be fine. We wouldn't be thrilled.
I hate to break it to you, Sammy, but if you put Zaidan at shortstop, it's still an unmitigated disaster because he's not going to hit. And you don't know if he's going to defend. I am very much willing to say give him a day, maybe two a week there so you can keep Willier in the lineup, try to get him going because at this point, they have so many injuries that their only hope of competing is to get Willier going.
You're looking at this team as if it's a team that will eventually get going and start winning games and get into contention.
No, that's how you're looking at the team.
No. I want him at shortstop because you have an extremely young pitching staff and the shortstop defense is murdering them every single night.
The car engine does not work. The shortstop is the car engine. You have a blinker bulb out. You're prioritizing the blinker bulb. The engine's going to get you a lot further.
You're thinking that the thing that would fix the blinker bulb can also just like miraculously finish the engine when actually it's only shown that it can fix the blinker bulb.
Okay, here's the difference. Here's the difference. You don't think that Rafaela is a good short.
All right. That was great. And then, of course, Gordo just has technical.
Yeah, did Gordo?
Oh.
Did Gordo just rage quit?
No, he actually did have technical difficulties, but the timing is hilarious. No. Look, I think it's the right move going forward. Keep Rafael at shortstop. There is no other option at this point unless you want to go back to David Hamilton. So,
and then since that transition too, the outfield defense hasn't really taken that big of a hit. The outfield defense has been absolutely fine.
Willier Abreu in right field looking like friggin' Mookie Betts. What the hell is that about? I know it's a little clunky, a little clunkier than Mookie. Of course, he's not actually as good as Mookie. That was tongue-in-cheek, listeners. But he looked good. He's got a nuke for an arm. Center, Duran, nice play today on Thursday as we record. Diving catch coming in, which is very hard to do, and then gets up, throws the runner out at second, who is trying to advance. So, yeah, I'm fine with it. It's never going to be world beaters out there, but it's fine.
Can you imagine 2 weeks ago if I told you that at this current day and time, Willier Abreu be hitting over 300 and be playing very good right field defense? I would never in a million years have bought that.
No, and I like I said last episode, I wanted him sent down to AAA, not because he's bad, but because I figured he's not hitting enough
today in the majors to get everyday at-bats. He'd be better off in AAA getting everyday at-bats. But Alex Cora, who you have to give him credit. I know I like to give Cora credit, but I think he's a great manager. Credit to him for sticking with Abreu and not, you know, sending him down. He needed those reps at a high level. He got them, and now he's clicking. So there's nobody in the lineup who comes up, aside from Rafael Devers, who I feel better about right now than Willy Abreu. And that, like you said, Pat, if you had said that 2 weeks ago, would have said you went nuts. But look who's back. Gordo's here. He survived the technical difficulties. Do we have? Can you hear us? Are you back?
I am back. Did you guys tear me to shreds while I was gone?
No. We just said, like, it's good that we have some stability. It's good that you've, you know, come over to the Rafael to shortstop side of the debate.
Well, you know what, Sammy? It really is all about Abreu and Ref Snyder to me. Those guys are playing well. And if those guys are playing well, O'Neal's healthy. Duran, I know he's slumping, but he needs to be in the lineup. And, like, obviously you want to get Yoshida in there a little bit more. We'll get into that in a little bit. But to have any shot at getting those guys in the lineup, Rafael has to play shortstop. If those guys aren't worthy of being in the lineup, then it makes sense to play Rafael in center field. But they are worthy. Abreu has to be in the lineup every day. Lefty, righty, I don't care. Give him a shot against lefties, too. You have to take every shot that you can get.
Thick Willie. Stay thick. I love that. I'm seeing a few more people use the name Thick Willie, which
good. We got to make it a thing.
That was a great. I really like that nickname because it was organic. We were kind of all just talking and it just happened. Thick Willie. So hopefully it catches on. Hopefully he keeps hitting and throwing nukes.
Yeah. Before we get into the games, because I know we got to talk about the games. But before the games even started this series, it was announced that Tristan Casas has a fracture in his rib. This is what Pat was worried about. We talked about this. Like, Pat was saying that there's no such thing as a rib strain. There was no rib strain. It is a rib fracture. He's going to be out a while. I don't know if we... I know there's a lot of different outcomes for timetables. Pat, I know you have your theories, but Pat, give us your theory. How long do you think he's going to be out? And then we should get into the discussion, like, how do you replace this guy? Because right now it's been Bobby Dalbec. And yeah. I think all of us will agree that we don't want to see Bobby Dalbec in the lineup for 2 months, at least, I think.
Yeah. So I think I touched upon it last episode. It was kind of what I said, what I thought was going to happen, was hoping wouldn't happen. Stress fracture the ribs. The thing that sucks with ribs is you can't do anything to heal them. It's just avoiding shit that bothers it. They heal on their own for the most part. But then the other thing too is like being really careful ramping back up. Because if the ribs feeling good and you start swinging again, start throwing again, and it bothers you, it's not a setback, but it's okay, we're shut it down. So I would expect a good solid 6 weeks of like no baseball activity. Slowly ramping up some rehab games. I would guess probably around, you know, 8 weeks, 8, 9, 10 weeks. So I would imagine probably like All-Star breakish.
Yeah. And the one thing that Chris Cotillo put out there that I thought was pretty noteworthy was that Carlos Correa suffered the same injury. I believe it was in 2019. He missed 2 months.
Yeah.
2 months. So that's a long time. But I think as a Red Sox fan, you're used to now seeing Giolito out for the year. You're used to seeing Story out for the year. Chris Murphy out for the year. Like, we have seen a lot of season ending injuries, so many so that 2 months seems like nothing, even though by God, it is very much something. But yeah, what would you do? Sammy, what would you do if it's up to you? How would you replace Tristan Casas? Would you do it with Bobby Dalbec? Would you call up Nico Cavadas? Would you look from the outside? What are you thinking?
Yeah, Cavadas is a fun prospect, but I'm not 100% sure he's major league ready. Kind of similar to Dalbec, though he bats left-handed in the way that a lot of home runs, a lot of strikeouts, that doesn't generally translate well to the major league level. So if it were up to me, I like the idea of bringing in Garrett Cooper. The Cubs just DFA'd him. He's a veteran. Look, it's not going to be a sexy move. It's not super exciting, but that's the stability that I feel they've lacked. Right-handed bat, which they lack a little bit. They get chewed up by lefties. Cooper hits lefties well. The first base defense isn't incredible, but it's not gonna change much. It is what it is. That's the way I'd go. He's not gonna cost you much in the way of a trade. I don't know what the contract looks like, but you could probably the Cubs.
He was a minor league deal.
Yeah,
And he got DFA'd, so you could claim him for that. And if he goes unclaimed, I'm sure he'll get claimed. Eh, maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah, but if they wait, so hold on, I want to make sure I get this right. If they claim him, then you can you offer the Cubs whoever.
No, if you claim him, you just if you're the worst team that claims him, you just take the contract. You don't have to give him anything.
Okay. That makes sense. So if he passes, all right, yeah. All right. Wanted to make sure I got that right with the minor league deal. I know it gets a little fuzzy. But yeah, that's the way I'd go. You could bat him lower in the lineup, kind of actually, you probably bat him exactly where you hit Dahlbeck, like 6th or 7th.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy to me that he hits anywhere other than last. But yeah, so that's the way I go. And if they're not going to go that way, what are really the options?
But Pablo Cron, CJ Cron, man,
CJ Cron. But he's going to need to ramp up. We saw him in spring training.
Votto.
Who?
Votto.
That's the other thing, Pat. You bring up a good point. Is that May 1st? Like all these guys that sign these minor league deals, a lot of them have opt outs at or around May 1st, which is a little bit less than a week from the moment we're recording. So you might see the Red Sox try to draw out the string until that point in time. Then again, you might as well just claim Garrett Cooper now, because what better deal are you going to get? He signed a minor league deal.
Right.
And it was a guy they had interest in 5 months ago.
Like a lot of interest.
Yeah. So no, I'm with Sammy. I think Garrett Cooper is kind of, I don't want to say no brainer, but it, given your options, it's a fucking no brainer.
It's a no-brainer if ownership will pay for it. That's literally where I get stuck, is if ownership will pay for like a close to minimum deal. That's insane, but it's true.
Yeah, you get a veteran guy, right-handed bat, which they desperately need, can hold it down on defense, and I mean, you'd have to try to be worse than Bobby Dahlbeck. So it's an upgrade.
You know who's in AAA who you could call up? A friend of the program, Barrel Man.
Does he play any first base? I know he's not tall.
You guys were
I was
so
taller than him. I'm not tall.
Yeah, you guys were not enthused by that idea. Jesus.
How tall is he?
I didn't know if he could play first base.
He's 5'8", but I'm of the belief, and I know this is going to be, he's 5'7". Jeez, actually. I'm of the belief, and I know this is, especially for Moneyball viewers, not a popular opinion. If you can play third base, I think you can play first. Give me a break.
I mean, maybe at that point, you might as well just play Ref Snyder, just because he's if Ref Snyder worked there a little bit, I don't know why they're not a little bit more willing to do it, because like Bobby Dahlbeck is close to an automatic out. I know he's like been very good defensively. I'm going to give that credit to him because he deserves it. Mm-hmm. But I personally would rather Ref Snyder playing first and Yoshida in the lineup than Ref Snyder playing the fielder DHing and Bobby Dahlbeck at first.
Gordo. Same logic you use with Rafaela. How do you know he's a good first baseman? I think the fact that Yoshida sat another day today rather than putting Ref Snyder at first and Yoshida in left, it, you know, that might be about Yoshida's defense, but I think it also says a lot about the Ref Snyder first base experiment.
The difference here is that I know that I can make the team better offensively by doing this, whereas at the time I didn't know that Abreu over Reyes was really that much of an offensive improvement. Clearly it is. Clearly I was wrong.
What?
All right. Okay.
At the time, a couple weeks ago, we're not rehashing it. No, I was wrong. My hand is up. I was wrong. Sedan, you are my shortstop. I love that barehanded play.
Well, it's okay. We all get stuff wrong. I picked Yoshida as my guy who will take a big step forward this year. So that's going great. But no, I saw a lot of people, and we'll get to the Yoshida discussion. A lot of people just saying, why don't you play Ref Snyder at first base? Well, two reasons. As in us three and Coop in the back, we have not seen him play first base probably ever. The Red Sox have, and they chose not to put him there and instead put Bobby Dahlbeck, who's hitting, what, like 52 right now? That's his batting average, is 52. They chose him over Ref Snyder at first. So to me, that means it probably wasn't pretty. Also, he has not played first base at the major league level since 2020. So it's kind of like the Adam Duvall conversation. Everyone's like, why don't you play him at first? Well, he hasn't played there in 6 fucking years.
Exact logic I used for Rafaela, and I got castrated. I said we haven't seen him play it in years.
Yeah, but he played a lot in the minors, and we saw him play shortstop a little bit in the majors last year. It's a lot different than like, it's been 4 years and you're playing a completely different position. And also, Rafael is a guy who's touted for his defense every single day. Ref Snyder is fine defensively, but he's not like a wizard out there. So we don't know how he's going to transfer from spot to spot. All I'm saying is the fact that he hasn't played first base, even though they had him practicing there, I think that tells you something.
I agree. It does tell you something. But that's the exact type of stuff I was saying about Rafael. I said, if they're not moving him to shortstop right now, it maybe tells you a little bit. But in the end, it didn't, because they should have moved him there earlier based off of how it's gone so far. Let's get into the game. Let's get into the first game. There really is not much to talk about here, but we're going to do it anyway. Hauk, coming off of the shutout, extended his scoreless streak against the Guardians to 15 innings before they finally scored. The offense absolutely stunk. Thick Willie, who we have talked about as the guy who is breaking out. That's an understatement. He's more than breaking out. He is just absolutely on fire. He hit the home run, but I think the one discussion point in this game is about the seventh inning. So Hauk, they're up 1-0 at this point. Willier just hit the home run. Hauk comes out for the seventh at 81 pitches. At what point, and the end result here, so they put him out there at 71, it went double, single, walk, pulled. So he had let the game get tied and men on first and second with no outs, and they pulled him. Where were you guys at in the moment, if you can just bring yourself back? Where would you have pulled Hauk?
I would have done what Cora did. In starts past, I would have pulled him earlier, but he was coming off of that incredible outing against Cleveland. And I think he kind of earned that trust to go deeper into the game. Now, it didn't work, but it's not like they were hammering the ball off of him at any point. So I was fine with it. It was kind of one of those situations where I felt comfortable rolling the dice. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it wasn't a disaster. It just wasn't, you know, wasn't great. He couldn't get out of it. So actually, he didn't even get a single out in the seventh inning, six plus innings. So I like Cora showing some trust in him. Sad it didn't work out. We move on.
Yeah. Pat, where were you at?
What was the score in that game at that point?
It was 1-0.
Okay.
And then he brought Hauk out at 81 pitches and took him out with a tie game 1-1 with first and second, still no outs.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to sit here as a fan and say, like, oh, I would have, but realistically, I think when you got tagged on the double, you're kind of on high alert. After the single, I feel like that's at the point where you got to be able to pull him. I don't really hate what Cora did, obviously. I get what Sammy's saying. It's not crazy to ride a guy who just absolutely decimated this lineup a week ago. But at the same time, it's like, it's a 1-0 ball game. It's getting real close. Hauk has been nails this year, but we've also seen him do this in the past where, you know, he gets tagged a little bit toward the end of it. But I'm not mad that Cora did it, but me personally, after that single, I'm like, I kind of wanted him out at that point because I had seen this before.
That's where I was at too, Pat. And it didn't end up burning them because it's not like that walk.
Yeah.
Because I thought after the double and then the single, I would have thrown him out there for the seventh at 81 pitches. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But after the double and the single, it's a tie game. That's when I would have yanked him. The walk ended up happening. It didn't burn them. Bernardino came in. He ended up letting the go-ahead run in, but it was first and second, no outs. He didn't let the second run in. Like, he did his job.
Yeah.
But after that, who was it? It was Boozer let in a couple.
It's worth noting that the double and the single were both roped. One was 102, one was 103. So they were hit. It kind of, like, they didn't hit Hauk hard up until that point, but you can't take him out after one hard hit ball. And then the second one happens, and then you take him out. So, yeah, again, I don't mind it. It's fine. I think if they had taken him out, people would have flipped and been like, how are you not going to give him that shot after that incredible game he pitched? So, whatever.
I don't think anyone's saying take him out before the inning. It's just a matter of when in the inning would you have pulled the plug.
Agreed. But if you had taken him out before the inning started, people would have
flipped. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those moves, like, people are going to hate this, but just because a move doesn't work results wise doesn't mean it was the wrong move. It's baseball. You never know for sure if a move is going to work. I think it was a fine risk to take, especially early on in the season. You guys know how I feel about the wins and losses with this team. It's like secondary to me. I love when they win. I just have no faith that they're going to string together any huge win streak. So I'm just kind of looking for Hauk to perform well. And I don't know. I thought he was fine.
Yeah, no, Hauk was good. I mean, he was really good up until that last inning. But you kind of hit the nail on the head with this team, Sammy. It really is about its inconsistency. Because, like, during today's game, they – and I don't want to get too much into the game yet. But, like, while they were fighting back, it's like, oh, my God, I'm just now realizing that this team hasn't made a lot of errors recently. Like, they are fighting back. They're resilient. They don't seem to care that everyone's hurt. And then right when I was thinking that is when they started making all the errors again. Because this is – it's a pretty inconsistent team. And I think unless you have anything else about game one, Ref Snyder had three hits. That was great. Outs on the bases continue. Wong got picked off by the catcher in a big spot. That sucked. But it was bad in game one. But they're – as an inconsistent team, you're going to see a lot of highs. You're going to see a lot of lows. And in game two, we saw a lot of highs. They out-hit the Guardians 16-4. Cooper Criswell went in there and shoved it up their ass for five scoreless innings. We saw great relief from Joely two innings, and we saw really good stuff from Zach Kelly two innings. Cora called it the best he's ever seen Kelly pitch at the big league level.
Yo, he looked good, man. 97 fastball, little Bugs Bunny changeup, friend of the program, play Tessie Bump.
Yeah, I mean, it's never been like he started the year in AAA, but that was never because he wasn't a big league pitcher. I mean, they said it. They were trying to improve their bullpen depth, have guys that they could go up and down with. And Kelly's a guy with options, so he just gets the short end of the stick there. But by no means, I mean, he literally went down in the minors and threw nine scoreless innings. Yeah. Like, obviously, he's a big league pitcher. You watch the game. He's like obviously a big league pitcher.
Yeah, and it, you know, cool stat about this game: all top five fastest pitches, Zach Kelly fastballs.
Hell yeah,
love that.
Hell yeah. Both teams, by the way, not just the Red Sox. They're all Zach Kelly.
Highest. Yeah, that'll do.
97.3. I mean, that's, I don't even think that's his best pitch. The changeup is like sick. That thing is like a bowling ball. Love it.
Yeah. It's good stuff. And we're going to see a lot of him moving forward. I hope. I mean, I don't know when guys, who's the first guy that's expected to come back? Is it Pivetta?
Campbell?
Yeah, we'll see about Campbell. I feel like I haven't heard anything about Campbell, but it didn't seem like it was going to be more than a minimum.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They lie about these things all the time. Who the hell knows?
Gordo, remember when you told Zach Kelly, you were like, change your grip to this. It works for me really well when I'm pitching.
I did say that.
Oh, thanks so much, Gordo. You're such a guru. I'm going to use this and throw nine scoreless in AAA and then come up. So,
bang.
You got it, Zach. No problem.
You guys are all talking about Andrew Bailey. Podcast is talking about Gordo.
Gordo Bailey.
Gordo's actually Andrew Bailey. You taught Andrew Bailey everything he knows.
Yeah, man. I was his pitching coach when I was like a sixth grader when he came to Boston. He took me on board. I taught him his changeup. I taught him cutters. I taught him the sweeper. No one knew about the sweeper back then, but I was talking to Andrew Bailey. I would take breaks in math class and pull out like my old like Razor cell phone and like go to the bathroom and just like, he'd be like, Gordo, what am I doing wrong here? Like, what is this? I can't locate it. I'd be like, bro, you just got to put your fingers in these spots and just do that with your wrist and you're good.
It's true. You do. Yeah. I mean, people who are deeply involved in baseball know that there's no Andrew Bailey without Gordon. Hey, you want to hear a fun fact about game two that I love as a viewer?
Please.
One walk in the entire game. Both teams.
Smooth, wow.
Smooth baseball. Just keep it going. No walks. And it was Rafael.
No walks. Lots of hits. I mean, there are three guys who you could highlight potentially having like their game of the year in this game. You had Abreu went 4-for-5. Devers went 3-for-4 with a home run. And the best of them all, Connor Wong, 4-for-4 with two homers. I mean, Connor Wong had 9 home runs the entire year last year. And as we record this, it's April 25th, and he's already more than halfway there. He's at 5.
Connor Wong, with 3 balls in the air, hit at over 100 miles an hour. Sorry, 2 balls in the air, hit at over 100 miles per hour. 3 balls overall, hit over 100 miles per hour. All 3 were hits. And then that single, the soft hit single, that was impressive as hell. You see where that pitch was? It was in a friggin' different zip code, and he reached out and doinked it in the center. So, Connor Wong, that was it. That was maybe his best game I've ever seen. Did he do anything on defense?
Can't recall. Nothing sticks out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, best offensive game then. Still impressive.
The good, he didn't fuck up on defense. So that's even better.
Yeah. That's the thing. Guy, that's sometimes a good thing.
Especially with catchers. If you don't notice them, good work, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you absolutely love to see that from him. It is fun to dream about the future catching tandem that they're going to have with Kyle Teal and Connor Wong. And like, if one of those guys like plays their way into needing to be a full-time guy and you send maybe Connor Wong somewhere else and get an absolute haul when he has control. Like,
I wanted to bring that up, man. If he keeps, you know, controlling the run game, like he controls the run game, hitting at anywhere even remotely close to this level, it doesn't even need to be close to the level he's at, just hitting well and being versatile, plays, we've seen him play what? Catcher, first base, second base, third base so far this year. Who knows
what's next?
He's also got good speed. That's a guy who might be too good to be a backup, and he's certainly not as highly regarded as Kyle Teal. Maybe a guy you move in a deal. Catchers are valuable.
Catchers are valuable, and he's going to have, like, let's assume this conversation would take place maybe not after this year, but after next year. So he would have 3 years of control. Like, you can dream. Dream, man. Dream.
And this is a compliment to Connor Wong. It's not me saying he stinks, get him out of here. It's that, like, look, one of our premier prospects in the organization is a catcher, Kyle Teal. You, Connor Wong, are probably too good to be sitting behind him. There's a lot of teams that would rather start you than whoever they got. Red Sox are a deficient team. There's holes. That's when you start thinking about a deal. But like you said, Gordo, we're not really close to that yet.
Yeah, it is a dream. But the other, you were talking about his versatility. The other dream is that Kyle Teal and Connor Wong are your tandem, and Connor Wong is so good that to keep getting him in the lineup, you find him days at all these other positions. I mean, this is a conversation for another day, but Connor Wong is playing so well that you have those dreams. And like, I know we saw, like, he had a couple of huge games like this last year. I remember there was one where I believe he hit two home runs, and then he had a third ball that like was at the very top of the monster. So he was like an inch away from three homers. Like, we've seen it, but he just looks like a different guy at the plate. He looked like a different guy at the plate in spring training. The OPS is over 1,000. He's looked every bit of the part. I mean, I've been so impressed with him. It's not like, not to the point where I'm like, oh, hit Connor Wong like second or third or fourth or anything, but to the point where he gets up there and it's like, you're feeling pretty reasonable about the potential at bat. And obviously he has potential to grow that into a lot more if he keeps this up over the next couple months. Any other notes about game two? I mean, they literally was such a good game that like they played so well that they're like almost aren't notes because just everything went well. Like they went up big. The other two Boston teams were playing. What else you got? Like,
it was just nice to have a kind of a laugher. Was that the first one this year where they've really blown out the other team? Oh, the Oakland one.
There have been a couple.
Game one against the A's was pretty laughable.
They also,
wasn't there one against the Angels?
The Angels when they hit like four home runs in two innings.
Oh, right. And then all the injuries started after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was nice to just see a laugher of a game and the Red Sox be on the right side of it too.
Yeah.
Detail there.
Agreed. Game three, this game was supposed to be started by Brian Baio. He was placed on the injured list, I believe, right before either game two or game. It doesn't matter. He was placed on the injured list. He didn't make the start. He's expected to be out the minimum. Pat, was it a lat? I have it written down if you don't remember.
I don't remember. What was it?
Give me one sec.
I think it was lat. That sounds right.
Baio, yeah, lat tightness, and Cora seems to believe it's going to be the minimum, but at the same time, he said that about Pivetta, he said that about Whitlock. I don't think either of them looks like it's going to be a minimum stay. Pat, when you hear lat tightness, really quick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, lat tightness is completely fine. So very, like, the quickest anatomy lesson I've ever given. Lat runs from the back up, inserts right about here on the shoulder. It does this and this. If it's tight, it's not. I mean, if you've ever done like a pull-ups or pull down, you feel like really stiff in your back, that's a tight lat. I'm not really concerned. If it truly is a tight lat, it should be the minimum on the IL.
If you're listening, in podcast form, check it out on YouTube. You can see Pat pointing to the areas that might be affected. Very, very unfortunately, Pat's been very useful this year with all these injuries. So,
all right, Pat, let's play a game. Okay. I'm going to read off because I was very interested in this. The Red Sox have had so many goddamn players get hurt this year that I was thinking to myself, is there a pattern? Is it like the same body parts? It doesn't feel like any of it's the same body parts. So I started looking and like none of it is except for a few elbow guys. I'm going to read off the injuries and you point to the part of the body where they're hurt.
Let me move. Let me get room.
This will be fun, even though it sucks. All right. Bayo, lat. Whitlock, oblique. Pivetta, elbow. Giolito, elbow. Murphy, elbow. Devers, knee. O'Neill, head. Grissom, groin. Gossis, rib. Story, shoulder. Campbell, also shoulder. Romy Gonzalez, wrist. Rob Refsnyder, toe. Brandon Walter, rotator cuff. And Tyler Heineman, hamstring. So if you're watching on YouTube, Pat basically just touched every single inch of his body. So yeah, none of these are in the same body part. It sucks. This whole thing fucking sucks. All the players are hurt. I hate it. We're watching a AAA team, and to give them their credit, they are keeping it competitive and they are winning ball games. But it fucking sucks when like you want to see like Bayo and Pivetta and Whitlock pitching, and instead you're seeing Anderson and Criswell and Winkowski starting games. It sucks.
Hey, dude, Anderson was good today other than the 5 runs he gave up.
Yeah.
When Bobby puts a ball not in someone's glove, he's been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's there.
Yeah, when he has swung and made contact and someone hasn't caught it, he's batting 1,000, guys. So lay off.
But you know who's not batting very much? You want to do the transition? I was trying to.
Yeah. No. We can roll it, man.
Hold on, ready? Hold on. We'll do this. But you know who's not batting very much, Gordo?
Who's that, Sammy?
Masatoka Yoshidank.
Yeah. Cora hasn't given them a chance to test out your theory because I don't think he started a single game post April 20th.
Yeah. So Yoshida.
Am I right about that?
He can't hit unless he has the power of cannabis, which he gets access to on 420, like you saw last year and this year. But he hasn't played, and a lot of people are a little bit confused and a little bit upset about it. I get it. What do you guys think? Because I have a whole theory that I can go down, but it's
a lot. I'll give you my thoughts, man. So he's started 2 of the last 8 games. He was signed to a big contract by a previous regime, or by Chaim Bloom, who's not here. I guess it's not really a whole regime change, but Chaim Bloom signed him. He's not here anymore. Yoshida had got here. They thought he could play close to average defense. He does not play close to average defense. It is so obvious that they want absolutely no part of playing him in the field. I think they look at him playing the field like you would look at, like, if they toss like Joely into left field and asked him to play it. Or like when Kevin Youkilis was asked to play left field back in the day, or when Hanley was asked to play left. I think that's how they look at Yoshida out there. So it's just not going to happen. He is, and with the bat, it has not been good this year. It was not good for the last 2 months of last year. If he's not hitting, he's not going to get in the lineup, especially when a guy like Refsnyder is. When guys like Devers and O'Neill need to DH, he's just not going to get into the lineup. So this is a guy who everything kind of needs to click to get him in the lineup at this point. It's got to be a righty. It's got to be a day where other guys are not feeling banged up and needing a DH day. Like, he just hasn't been good enough to force his hand into the lineup. I know everyone's frustrated by this, but the fact of the matter is this guy hasn't hit in like 3+ months of baseball games, like a half a season's worth of baseball games. He hasn't hit.
Dude, it's kind of annoying if you think about it from Alex Cora's perspective or even Craig Breslow's perspective. You have this guy on the roster. He's getting paid a decent amount. He also can't play the field, doesn't give you much power, at no speed at all. In fact, he's slow as hell. He also requires more off days than most guys because he gets tired. His legs get tired. Like, we talk about this a lot as if it's normal, but the more you think about it, it's like, come on, man. Like, how much special treatment do you need? I don't know. It's kind of annoying to me.
If it One thing to think about is just to quantify, granted, different scenarios, different rosters, different circumstances. JD Martinez was getting fucking outfield innings. You know how bad Masataka Yoshida must be at left field to not get innings with Alex Cora? They think of him as less of a defender than JD Martinez.
Right, that's nuts. I didn't think he wasn't like watching Hanley Ramirez out there. No. He made the routine plays. He just has no range. His arm is like a wet noodle out there. It's just I will say his form when he throws, it's kind of beautiful. He's like a gazelle out there. It just doesn't come out strong at all. So I don't know. The more I think about it, the less I like the Yoshida experiment. And I have this inkling that in a year or two, it's going to be one of those not so good looking contracts.
It's already that.
Right. Yeah. Not so much because of the money. Like, it's not, the money's a decent amount. It's the years and it's the completely limited skill set, which really fucks with the entire roster. And I've talked about this with a million people on Twitter. Like, he was supposed to, what was it? When was the Heinemann game? That was Sunday.
That was against Perez. So yeah, Sunday.
Okay. Sunday against Pittsburgh. So here's my theory. I think they had Heinemann DH instead of him because the following day was an off day. And Yoshida, like we said, he needs his extra rest. That's what his coach from Japan said. So that's how Cora treats him. So they rest him on Sunday. Monday's an off day. Then on Tuesday, O'Neill is back. He's coming off a concussion. So they want to put him at DH and ease him back in. Okay, that makes sense. There's no way to determine when a guy's going to come back from a concussion. It's a concussion. So unfortunate timing. Third day off for Yoshida. And then the next day, Rafael Devers is back, but he's not good enough to play the field. You're certainly not going to pick Yoshida to DH over Devers. No friggin' way. Don't worry about it. The next day, Devers will be ready to play third base. Thursday comes around. He's not ready to play third base yet. Again, you're going to put Yoshida at DH over Devers? I don't think so. So you put Devers in there and Yoshida sits again. So while I don't think Cora loves the guy, I don't like the conspiracy theory saying, oh, Alex Cora hates Yoshida. He hates him. These are adults. These are professionals. He's not going to be like, I don't like you. I'm going to sit you. Verdugo.
It's not a conspiracy. People are insane with this. It's literally, you have a choice of who to put in the lineup. And Yoshida every single night has been the lesser player. And yeah. So it sucks because this is a guy we all expected to be really good. And we've seen him be really good, but he hasn't been that guy. It's like last year, Corey Kluber wasn't pitching at his Cy Young levels. I know there was a lot more time in between that, but it's just like, just because a guy was really good at a certain point does not mean that that's who he is today. And Yoshida has a lot of work to do to get back to where he was. And I don't know if he can.
Yeah, no, I adjusted. You nailed it. You nailed it. But there is a large, loud group of Red Sox fans with that conspiracy. We're like, he hates Yoshida.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's not it. It's what you just said. There's better options. The guy does one thing well. He has a good hit tool. The power is middling at best. No speed, no defense, no arm. He's extremely limited. It's the fact of the matter. And remember the offseason where there were rumors about Red Sox not wanting to trade him, but being open to it. They're listening. And
they probably wanted to trade him.
Maybe. They didn't say it, but everyone flipped out. How could you trade him? And all of us on the show were kind of like, I mean, it's not the worst idea ever. You should at least listen if the offer is there. Now, I'm sure if you could deal the guy, it would. I don't know. I won't speak for you guys. If there was a, you know, an offer.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the money, would you do it?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine the flexibility that it would open on the roster? If you don't have a DH who is a legit threat, like a guy like Rafael Devers, who I want to be the DH. If you don't have a guy like that, you're better off with the versatility. You're not getting Soler. Soler's not here. It sucks, man. It's an albatross on the roster.
Yeah, and just for the record here, Yoshida's still, after this year, he still has 3 years to go.
$18
million a year.
I'm so stupid for picking him as my guy to break out. Hey, the logic was there.
He was my pick as my I'm a little bit nervous about this guy. I don't want to celebrate that. I'm not celebrating that.
Hey, but look, on the podcast, we get some stuff wrong, like saying Sedan shouldn't be shortstop, but we get some stuff right, like being a little bit concerned about Masanaki Yoshida.
Beginning of the game, Chase Anderson, not good. Lets up a grand slam to Jose Ramirez to make it 5-0. The interesting part of that at bat was that it was 10 pitches, and that had Reese McGuire been able to squeeze a strike 3 call, like it was a foul tip that was in and out of Reese's glove, and it would have ended the inning 1-0 Guardians. Interestingly, the Sox probably win the game if he squeezes that ball, but at the same time, it's Chase Anderson starting the game. He was unable to finish 2 innings. He let in 5 runs. The Guardians only scored 1 run after that, but it was kind of all that they needed. Yoshida pinch hit in the game. He didn't get it done, but he did pinch hit.
He hit a soft ground ball to the right side. Can you believe it?
What?
Yeah, Pat.
You're not going to believe Yoshida.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Can you believe it? Yeah.
What?
Soft ground ball. It barely moved.
To the pole side?
Yeah.
Surely he beat it out.
Oh, Pat, he's not very fast.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't have much power either.
Bruh. Did he make up for it on defense?
Oh, they didn't give him the chance, so he did not make up for it.
By the way, Cleveland's left field is gigantic. I didn't realize that until this series. Woo! Stephen Kwan winning 2 gold gloves out there. That guy is so good.
He is good.
By the way, interesting about the Reese McGuire not caught strike 3. I played baseball for like 16 years. The one thing I never, ever did, I never played catcher. Maybe in like T-ball, or no, not T-ball, there's no catcher. Well, they do. They have a kid stand there. That's probably the highest level I played catcher at, T-ball, where you just stand. I don't know if either of you have any catching experience, but I put out a tweet trying to see if anyone played like, you know, high level in college or minors or even majors. That drop third strike, foul tip by McGuire. Is that, are guys supposed to catch that? Is that something you're expected to catch at the major league level?
I want to say yes.
The answers were totally split. Some of the people were like, nah, it's just luck. It's happening too fast. Other people were like, yeah, you got to squeeze it. So I don't know, man. That shit looks hard. Never have ever wanted to play catcher. Never will.
Sox dropped this game 6-4. I mean, the offense was... They still got hits, so I want to give them credit where it's due there. This was not one of those games where they straight up put up a 0, which they have done a lot of this year. This wasn't one of those games, but there were a lot of spots where it felt like had you had some like a lineup that was a little bit closer to the lineup that this team was built to have, they might have been able to get it done in some spots that they just didn't. Certainly not in the 9th with Emmanuel Clase, who shoved it up their ass again for what feels like the 10th time this year they're facing him.
Yeah, he's nasty. Yeah, it's not a loss that you're like, oh, we suck. Just kind of like, okay, get it done. It's a loss. It was close. Yeah, you didn't get blown out, so whatever. Move on.
Yeah, and they were 4-2 on the road trip, so I'm hoping they're going home feeling okay about themselves. But yeah, not the greatest game, but not certainly we've seen worse. Anything else from you guys on this game or series before we move on to previewing Chicago?
I'm super not impressed with Cleveland, even though I know they beat up the Red Sox, just not seeing the hype. The pitching's good. Hitting is not impressive. Defense is good, but I don't know. I don't think they're as good as their record. I think that's a team that's going to flounder down the stretch.
Hopefully. Yeah, I need the Twins to make a comeback for my parlay.
Yeah, they just play good, solid baseball. Good pitching, great defense, and they get on base. I mean, they're not going to win a World Series like that. They've been doing it for 10 years now, but they're damn good at it, and they will always have a good record.
Yep. You know who also has a good record? Chicago Cubs. They are 16-9, and they just swept the Houston Astros. Feels like everyone is sweeping the Houston Astros, but it's impressive nonetheless because obviously we know what the Astros can do. They are 16-9, coming to Fenway Park. Game 1, Shota Imanaga, rumored Red Sox target of the offseason, didn't happen. He signed with the Cubs. Shota Imanaga versus Cutter Crawford. Imanaga's got an 0.84 ERA in four starts. He's coming off a six-inning, two-run start with five strikeouts against Miami. It was the first start in which he let up a run. So his first three starts were literally scoreless.
Yo, Cutter. Gordo.
What?
Real quick, before you move on, I bet Yoshida sits that game. It's a lefty.
No, Cora said Devers is DHing, so Yoshida will sit.
Oh.
So Yoshida will sit. It will be 2 out of 9 that Masataka Yoshida sits.
Oh my god. All right. Sorry for interrupting. Continue.
You're good. He's taken on Cutter Crawford, who has gotten 0.66 ERA in five starts. He's coming off a six inning, one run, six strikeout outing against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Two guys going below one ERAs this game. That'll be interesting to watch. Game two Saturday. Cubs do not have an announced starter. Couldn't even figure out a guy who was lined up. So we will see what that turns out to be. Red Sox starter that day will be Josh Winkowski, who's got a 4.2 ERA on the season. He only has one start. It was this past weekend, I believe, on Sunday. He went 3 1/3, one earned, one strikeout against the Pirates. Sox ended up winning that game. Game three on Sunday, it's a Sunday night game. Jordan Wicks for the Cubs, 4.7 ERA, coming off a six-inning, two-earned run, four-strikeout game versus the Astros. That was his first time finishing five innings this year, so he has not historically this year gone deep. You got Tanner Houck going for the Red Sox. He's got a 1.65 ERA, and he's coming off, as we just talked about, six innings, two runs, four strikeouts versus the Guardians. Hitters to watch, the big guy, Michael Busch. He's been an amazing rookie. Got him in a trade from the Dodgers in the offseason. They do not have Cody Bellinger. He fractured his rib as well, just like Tristan Casas. Ian Happ, Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, all solid. Pete Armstrong just came up. He hit a go-ahead home run for his first major league hit today as we're recording this. Series predictions. I finally got my first one right.
Hey.
I'm on the board.
Hey.
So the score currently, Sammy 5, Pat 3, Gordo 1. Sammy, Cubs series, what do you got for your prediction?
Oh, okay. Red Sox back at Fenway, which has been a little bit painful. The Cubs are probably the most banged up team next to the Red Sox. So that's good for the winning prospect. Okay, let me ponder. So also, by the way, I should add, Hap is playing through a hamstring thing, so he's not 100% either. I'll go Red Sox lose game one, and I think they win the next two. I don't like the Shota matchup. I think Cutter is going to pitch well, but I think it's going to be like 2-1 Cubs. And then they don't even have a starter lined up for game two. And then game three, remind me, the matchup is
Jordan Wicks, Tanner Houck.
Oh, Jordan Wicks. Read a book, Jordan Wicks. Yeah, I'll say a loss, win-win. So the Red Sox are going to lose the first game. Everybody's going to have a fucking meltdown as usual. And then they're going to win the next two.
Pat, what do you got?
I think they lose the show to start. I think they lose the Wink start. And I think they win the Houck start. I'm going loss, loss, win. Houck's been dealing. And Wicks is Wicks. I like that pitching matchup for the Red Sox. Sunday night game. I feel like they always perform pretty well in primetime games historically over the past couple of years. So I like them winning that game. Even though they don't even have a pitcher lined up for that middle game, Wink gives you, I would imagine at best, 3-4 innings. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think they take 1 out of 3 and they take the third game.
Yeah, Pat, I'm right there with you. I think it's 1 out of 3 and I think they take the third game. I don't feel great about the first game of the series. You got a lefty Imanaga throwing the ball well. Game two, I know that their guy is TBD, but Sox have Wink. And yeah, I mean, that's basically the same thing as at this point, a bullpen game. I know they're trying to build him up a little bit, but he's certainly not built up yet. They're also playing at home. They have not played well at home, but I was literally going to use the Sunday night baseball example too, Pat. I just feel like every time they play on Sunday night baseball, I'm feeling good about what I'm watching. So I'm going to roll with that. 1 out of 3, they take the third game. So Sammy 2 out of 3, Pat 1 out of 3, Gordo 1 out of 3. Cubs are really good. Taking 1 out of 3 from them is not like a bad thing. Like, don't get swept. Like, well, if you take the series, great, but don't get swept. Sammy?
They have a weakness. Their bullpen has been pretty weak this year. They have, yes. I think they've officially removed Adbert Alzolet, which is a very difficult name to say. Oh yeah, you have him in fantasy, right?
Not anymore. I don't.
So Gordo has dropped the former Cubs closer, whose name is Adbert, which is even tougher than Enmanuel, in my opinion. So
it's
kind
of the same thing. It's exactly the same thing.
So I love game two because bullpen game against the bad bullpen. By the way, game two, Saturday, 4:10 start. Get the fuck out of here with that. That's gross. I hate that.
What's wrong with that?
4:10, middle of the day? I'm not ready to Saturday sit down. Thing. It's sunny, though. It's sunny. I don't like watching baseball on TV when it's sunny outside because I feel like I have to go outside and enjoy the sun because we live in New England and it's friggin' Antarctica for half the year with no sun.
We're going to be at the gate.
I know we're going to be. Yeah, this one's fine for us. But generally, I'm just saying I don't like 4:10.
So you should just go to all the games.
Yeah, dude. Luckily, Red Sox games are super cheap and the food is super cheap and the water is
the road ones.
Not $6.
The road ones, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. All right.
All right, so, Pat, what's it time for?
It is time for Crystal Bomb.
Bomb it.
Just Gordo, you're smirking. Go for it.
No, you did it too. Come on.
I know. Me and Gordo got on the board again. I had Raffy, who I called would bounce back from his little not injuredless, injuredless stint in MASH. He did nothing but. He only mashed in Cleveland. Gordo, you had Wilgier?
I did.
You did.
Thick Will G.
Thick Bill.
Thick Billiam.
Sammy did not get a point this week.
Ooh. Yeah. Boo. I didn't get a point. I picked a guy with a 24 OPS plus. I'm an idiot. I thought he was going to run into one. They're facing a bunch of righties in Cleveland, and I figured he'd get three starts. He didn't. And Manuel, shame on you for making me believe in you. It's your fault.
So Gordo, you got the updated scoreboard over there?
Yeah, I do. What do you got? Crystal Bomb score. I've got 5. Pat has 3. Sammy has 1.
Sammy, I'll be a nice guy. You're really stinking up the joint. Why don't you hit leadoff, pal?
Oh, Rafael Devers. I gotta get back into this. I'm picking Devers. I don't think it's gonna be game one because Imanaga is really good. By the way, holy crap. Remember all offseason, I was like, I don't know about Imanaga. He gives up a lot of fly balls or Wrigley Field. I don't think it's going to be a good fit. I should never be allowed to judge NPB players ever again. I've gotten all my Japan picks wrong. So anyway, I think Devers in game two is going to go deep, but I'd take any of the 3 games. So give me Devers.
Gordo, hit it.
I was going to take Devers. Sammy, you're going to get a point this week because he's absolutely hitting a Sunday Night Baseball home run. That is a guarantee. But I'm not going to take Devers. I'm not going to match it. I'm going to go with Tyler O'Neill this time because you just talked me into it by saying the Shota Imanaga thing where he gives up a lot of fly balls. Lefty gives up a lot of fly balls. O'Neill might get him. And if he doesn't, I could totally see this being a situation where the Sunday night people are like, hey, just to catch you up, Tyler O'Neill's been really good. And like 2 seconds later, he puts one way over the monster. So I'm going to go Tyler O'Neill. I've already gotten multiple points off of this guy. He is a cheat code for Crystal Bomb. So I'm going to roll with him.
They gotta have the teams line up on the baselines before the game. That guarantees a Tyler O'Neill home run. He loves that shit.
Sure does.
So now I'm in quite the pickle.
You might want to double up.
No, I'm not doubling up. That's some coward shit.
Be a coward.
Be a coward. I'm going to go with...
You took Devers last
time. No.
Oh, you can't take Devers.
I'll go with Reese McGuire. I'll go with Reese. Because this is the reason for that.
Because no shot.
There's no chance.
No. I'm just saying.
Reese has hit like 3 homers in the last 2 years.
I'm just saying. The reason I'm going with Reese is because I feel like every time the Red Sox have played on Sunday Night Baseball in the last like 2 years, the random guy in the 8 or 9 hole hits a home run. That's the lone reason I'm going with Reese.
If you get this right, we should, I'll buy a like DoorDash you one French fry or something like that. I don't know.
Dude, I got Ref Snyder right. I'm the hot hand.
Reese is probably
gonna this right. If you get this right, I'll order a bomb to your house.
What the fuck?
A bong?
A bomb, MB.
A bong? A bong? I don't think Pat smokes.
I said bomb.
As like produced? No. What? No.
Like a crystal bomb.
No. Cordell with the most, just with the most aggressive comment of all time.
Pick up the hint, Gordo. No violence on YouTube.
Go back to your weird water that you drink.
Listen, guys, I was just talking about crystals.
That was like so worth money.
Boom! Is it Reese McGuire hits a home run in the bat? Boom!
No, it's a joke between the four of us. It's Da Bomb from Hot Ones, the hottest.
Oh, Hot Ones! Oh, Sean Evans, come on the podcast anytime.
Sean Evans, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Former weatherman turned. No. His T-shirt told him he'd be a weatherman. Anyway, yeah, Pat, that's an awful pick. You are not going to get a point. But all right, move on.
Yeah, Sammy, what's the time for?
It's time for everybody's favorite segment. No losers, just winners. Guys being dudes, and we kind of got to do it quick. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, do it. There you go. I am no John Lester. You can't pick John Lester for this. That's so lame and obvious. You got to pick someone weird. Got to pick a player who played for both the Red Sox and the Cubs. The more obscure, the better. Gordo, lead us off.
I'm going to go with Red Sox World Series hitting legend. No, not David Ross. Felix DuBront.
Oh, that's a good guys being dudes.
The Red Sox traded Felix DuBront to the Chicago Cubs, and they traded him, and he was never seen again, even though he played for multiple teams after the Red Sox. I do have his baseball reference up, so let me pull up. Or maybe it's frozen. No, it's not frozen. He played for the Cubs, the Blue Jays, and the A's after the Red Sox. You would never know it because we never heard from him again, but he did, I promise. So yeah, Felix DuBront, that's my guys being dudes.
All right, good one, Pat.
Going with lean, mean, handsome, goatee-wearing Matt Clement.
Ooh, good one.
Guy was butt cheeks.
He was all right.
He got so bad. Have I asked the trivia question to you guys on this show yet? Who hit the ball that hit him in the face?
No, who was it?
Can it I was guess? Carl Croft.
Oh, was it Carl Crawford?
Mike.
Yeah.
I never got that.
Matt Clement.
Carl Crawford.
Famously talked himself into an all-star game, something like that. So good for him. You're an all-star. All right. Mine is I believe this guy finished second to Idris Elba in Sexiest Man Alive. The greatest hitter of all time, Matt Stairs, who is 5'9", 210 pounds, and just hits tanks. Nobody has ever looked like a baseball player more than Matt Stairs. And if you're listening and you're not familiar, hit pause, Google Matt Stairs, and then come back and listen to the rest of the episode, because he is a sight to behold. Mostly like a DH / like pinch hitter type towards the latter half of his career. He'd come into games like the ninth inning and just swing for the fences. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Who gives a shit? Matt Stairs.
Do yourself a favor. Comment in the comment section. If Matt Stairs were not a professional baseball player, what would his profession be? Oh, thank you for the images, Coop. All right. We ready to do some Nuff Said and get out of here?
Hit it.
I'll go first. I'm looking at a balloon right now. It is a Super Bowl balloon. My fiance and I, we were at the grocery store. We were buying stuff for our Super Bowl party multiple months ago. And she's like, let's buy this balloon. I look at the price tag. It's like $5.99 for this fucking balloon. I'm like, you are not about to spend $6 on a balloon. She's like, no, we're definitely doing it. I was like, all right, be my guest. It's like the entire time we're in the grocery store, I'm like whacking the balloon at her head. Like I'm really being a pain in the ass. Super Bowl ends. She's like, all right, let's clean up. I'm like, no, you bought this balloon. Like we are keeping this balloon. We're going to get all $6 out of this balloon. It is finally It has been 2 months. It is finally starting to die. It is not on the ground yet, but it is like sitting halfway. It looks like a pruned finger. It is dying. It took 2 months. These balloons are very impressive. That's my enough said.
Sam, you want to go?
Yeah, mine is kind of like my enough said is just a plug. We dropped a bonus episode today on Thursday, April 25th. So if you want some more Play Tessie, check out the bonus episode in which we talk to Portland Sea Dogs reliever, closer, kind of back end bullpen guy, Christopher Troy. Great guy. Really fun to talk to. Friend of the program. Throws high 90s. If you saw him, you'd be like, oh yeah, that guy definitely throws high 90s. He's a big dude. And yeah, we had a great time chatting with him about everything from like philosophy to social media to flannels. And yeah, definitely check that out when you're done with this episode. Should be right above or below this one on whatever app you're using. So yeah, enjoy that.
CT's that dude. We love CT on this show. Pat, what do you got?
It's going to be a big week of content for old Play Tessie. The boys are headed. You guys are going to Fenway this weekend, right? Cubs game?
Yes, we will be at Fenway Park on Saturday.
There you go. And I will be at Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford because the Sea Dogs are in town. And I'm not going to spoil any surprises. Keep an eye on socials. But I have a certain gift for a certain prospect. A little, I don't want to say revenge because we love him. But a little, I don't know, a little care package, you could call it.
Token.
Yeah, a token of maybe not gratitude.
Wonderful.
Yeah, maybe a little bribery from the old PT boys.
Yeah, if you know,
a really cool idea, you know.
Cool. When you say PT boys, it's kind of a double meaning because like physical therapy, but also Play Tessie.
Nice. Yeah, there you go.
Cool. You're super PT. Coop.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? I was kind of hoping Pat would bring this up, but big news for our Scally cap wearers.
Oh,
in the heart of Boston.
Shit.
Kevin Youkilis has a Scally cap line. He's basically Michael Jordan.
Ah, damn.
That's great.
And I, as the proponent Scally cap wearer on this podcast that I am, so you guys don't wear them, I'm just going to have to try and get a sponsorship with them. So maybe I can get you guys some hats. I don't know. Pat, would you like one?
Lick my balls, dude.
I don't think I could pull it off. I think if I wore a Scally cap, nobody would take me seriously. It just wouldn't. Dude, I don't know.
I want that navy.
Wait, but I love like the stitches, like the seams as like the feather in the cap. Like that's but so fucking.
No, clever. That is cool. That is cool. The seams are cool. I could not pull one of these off. I'm with you, Sammy. I could not pull a Scally cap off.
If I cut my hair, which I'm gonna do soon. I'll put one on and see how it looks, but I feel like I'd look like people would be like, dude, you're not hot. They'd be like, I'm not.
But that's the thing. I think those who wear Scally caps accept that like they're probably gonna look like a doofus.
Well, what if you're like big yo?
But you own it, and like that makes you tougher. Like Pat looks like an idiot when he wears his, but I wouldn't mess with him.
Wait, I have a very quick little nugget.
Enough said.
Yeah. Retroactively, Masataka's double from Pittsburgh has been changed to an error on the left fielder. So guy's not even playing. And
that's really nice. They didn't have to do that.
Hey, there goes that talking point. That talking point is gone. You can't say he had a great game. He had a good game now.
Wait, so now he was not 3-for-4 that day. He was 2-for-4?
With two singles.
Wait, I thought, no, he hit a homer.
Oh, yeah. Home run and a single. Sorry.
Still. Oh, poor Massa. Yeah, Massa's going through it.
You get to run all the way around the bases with a home run. A single, you only get to go to the first one.
Anything else before we wrap this thing up, gentlemen?
Nope.
No, go Sox.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. Apple, Odyssey app, Spotify. That was a weird order I just did that in. Go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button to WEI's page there. We've got our own playlist. Hit that thumbs up there and subscribe to us and hit the 5-star button on the podcast platforms. leave a comment. Remember, tell us what Matt Stairs would be if he were not a baseball player. This is really, really, really important that you do that. Socials, very important because we are still churning out content. We're releasing videos on the daily. We have tons of content to show you guys from our trip to Hadlock Field in Portland, Maine. More is going to be coming. We just told you about the all the stuff we're doing coming up. So lots more to come. Very important for you to keep the eye on the socials because there's a lot of good stuff there. But for Sammy, for Pat, for Coop, it's Gordo for Play Tessie, episode 67. Thanks for tuning in. Toodaloo.